We are one in the Spirit. We are one.
Can everybody give me an amen? Make sure we got a good mic check going on here. All right, so I know that y'all are here tonight, so, and this morning, whatever time zone you're in, but I'm glad that you're here. Again, my friends, it is Friday night, and everybody knows what that is. Like I always say, y'all could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here, so I very much appreciate it. And it's good seeing you again, and welcome everyone. I hope that you had a good week, and I hope that you're going to have a good weekend. And, you know, we was kind of talking conversations about sowing. You know, I'm trying it myself, and so far I'm not having good luck with it, but maybe I get better at it. Who knows? But at least it kills some time, amen. So, as I started thinking about this message again, as always, I start thinking about, all right, which direction am I going to go this week? And my wife, she kind of threw a little hint to me, you know, about a possible message, and I got it written down in my notes. But once again, as always, when we go to the Holy Spirit, it's always best to listen to Him and let Him guide us. And I was kind of leaning towards this a little bit in light of some things that I have been seeing as of late with all this COVID-19 thing going on, you know, and quite frankly, all of us are seeing a lot of things. But, you know, I was thinking about this mainly aimed towards us, you know, and I think later on in this message, you will understand what I'm saying. So that's why I want us to think about this question. What does it really mean to be a Christian? Now, you know, we can sit here and ponder on this question till the cows come home, most likely. We can sit here and type in this chat room, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, we can also be like cows too. I like that. Okay. But see, that really raises a broad possibility of questions that could be posed to us or from the world. But see, when I started thinking about this, it seemed to me that the term is used loosely in this day and age with a lot of people. I mean, if you walked out on the street, went to your local store, just went around your neighborhood, and you asked people, are you a Christian? And, you know, and I've seen a lot of stuff, the Way of the Master videos. I don't know if some of y'all seen those or not, how they walk along the beach and they ask people questions on the streets and stuff. And I know one guy's name is Ray, but he generally asks you a question, and that's what I was thinking. You know, if we was to do that, walk around and ask people, are you a Christian? I guarantee 99% of them will probably say yes. But if you was to back it up and ask them, what does it mean to be a Christian? You'd probably get a variety of answers. And if you're like me, I had enough conversations with various people outside of the United States in this chat ministry. Also in real life to know, and this is what I gather, you know, talking to many people, there is no universal definition of a Christian. Because again, I'm sure that you have heard many different versions from different people you talk to. Now, did you know that, and this is why I looked up, did you know that in some parts of the world, Christians means, and you might be surprised at this, I was when I kind of found this information, but in different parts of the world, Christian means an arrogant, morally corrupt, manipulative Westerner. I kind of stopped and like, what? Yeah, I kind of did that too, K.A.N. I kind of went, wow, really? But it's out there on the internet. They think that we are arrogant, we are morally corrupted, we're manipulative with people. I'm like, wow, that's not painting a good picture. But in other places I looked up, it means someone who is generally a good person and goes to church 2-3 times a year. Wow, okay. I went into more digging. Others define it as someone who believes in Jesus, attends all the services, follows the Bible, does good deeds. I kind of like that one. And yet others identify Christians with the global power that invades countries and subject them to severe abuse, all in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into a denominational war, but we do see that a lot in the Middle Eastern countries, especially with Muslims. Some Muslims claim to be Christians, but they also have abusive powers with people they rule over. So when you sit back and look at all these different answers, you think about yourself and you think about what you read and look up. Which one of these, if any, is correct? Or are all of them true? And if all of them are true of people calling themselves Christians, does that mean Christianity in the Bible and Jesus himself are like all these people I just described? That's some food for the thought, isn't it? Or are the people and their various definitions of what it means to be a Christian faulty? Is there a way to be a Christian, a Christ follower, that is different from all the ways described above that I just listened to you? Is there a way to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, above all the things I just described to you? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but yeah, she did. Okay, but yes, there is. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, our reading verse, it's going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. Few of you give me an amen, but it is posted for you on the screen, so it makes it convenient for you to read. And look what it said. And when he had found them, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, if there is any fault in us that we have not confessed to you before we gathered together in this message, before we even came to you at your precious throne, if there's anything that we have not confessed when we should have confessed, please forgive us where we have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, it's not our intentions to do wrong. It's not our intentions to sin, but we make mistakes. We learn from them. We grow from them. So we ask of you to empower us with the help of the Holy Spirit to do things right and to be mindful of heavenly things. And Father, we need to examine our hearts and make sure that what we claim to be should be exactly what you want us to be, and not what the world is, and not what we think. We all miss the mark. We all fall short of the glory of God. But thank goodness for the blood of Jesus. He cleansed us from all wrongs. So I ask of you to be with those who are here tonight. Guard them. Watch over them. Anoint them. Father, I ask of you to listen to their prayers. To watch over them. Help them in times of difficulties. And Father, rest assured to us that we need that comfort in light of all what's going on in this world. And Father, as we move about in what limited ways that we do, or interact with people on the phone or in this Christian ministry, let us portray what a Christian really is supposed to be about. So we ask of you to help us, watch over us, show us what we need to do. I ask of you to bless those who showed up here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. They could have went down their own little thing, but they decided to come here to listen to the message that you laid upon my heart. And this thing is not about me. I never pointed to me, and I never wanted to be mentioned about me ever. This is not about me. This is about you. I strive to try to be more like your son each and every day. Not perfect, but with your help, it will get better. So we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. So y'all seen the title of the message, and y'all kind of might get the general idea where I'm going. But the title of this message is, What It Means to Be a Christian. You know, that's a good question to ask. You know, whenever we need to examine our hearts from time to time. And the Bible tells us to do so. The book of James clearly points it out, to examine ourselves. And I think a proper examination at times is good. We should examine our hearts. We should examine our motives. We should examine ourselves to make sure that whatever we are claiming to be, that we are the real deal. And that's why I titled that message, What It Means to Be a Christian, because it kind of made me think a little bit when sitting here and writing this message and then looking up different definitions and just try to see where the Holy Spirit was leading me. And that's why, you know, again, as I said earlier, the term Christian, as we understand it, refers to anyone, man, woman, or child, who trusts in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and Lord, and who strives to follow him in every area of our lives. That's what it basically, in a nutshell, means to be a Christian. And I can just end this message right there, and we can have a short one, and we can go eat and do all the thing. But, you know, truthfully, that's what it really boils down to, folks. That's what it means for us to be a Christian. Surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ and striving to be more like Him. And that's what I hope, and I pray this a lot with me and my wife in the morning, is that let us do Your work, Father. Let us be pleasing to You in Your eyes. Let us not be of ourselves, but let others see Jesus through us. And that's what we should be doing. Whenever we are dealing with people in chat room, in real life, we should be portraying Jesus. We should be. You know, again, as I said, you know, if we are portraying to be Jesus other than something else, or not being like Jesus, then we're not being the real deal. You know, that's all I can really say to us. But see, us as evangelicals, we place great stress on the importance of an individual, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We as followers, that's what we do. We place importance in our personal relationship with Jesus. We believe that this relationship is lived out by the way of prayer, study of God's word, fellowship with God's people, and service to others in Jesus' name. There is an important sense in where the Christian faith has to be expressed in the content of community with other believers. But in the final analysis, it is intensely personal and an individual matter. It's not a question of church membership or doctoral orientation, no. For us to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it is a personal and individual matter for each person. And as we looked in that passage we just read, the term Christian was first applied to the followers of Jesus in Antioch. Before that, we should know that followers of Jesus were called. Anybody want to take a shot at it? What were followers of Jesus called before they were called Christians? I'm going to let somebody take a shot at it. Well, I could play the Jeopardy theme and you got 30 seconds, you know. Good answer, but that's not it. Y'all going to know it as soon as I tell you. You probably, oh man, I should have known that. One more shot, somebody. Throw me a bone. Yeah, that's a good answer. I like that, but unfortunately, no. Before they were called a Christian at Antioch, followers of Jesus were called, you ready for this? Disciples. They were called disciples. Whenever they were following Jesus back then, before in the book of Acts in Antioch, before the word Christian came up, that's what they were called, disciples of Jesus. You know, many would say, yeah, you're a follower of Jesus. You're a brother or sister of Jesus. You're one of them. You know, some of them used those terms back then. But mainly back then, before the book of Acts and before Christianity really blew up in the region, they were basically called the disciples of Jesus. Anyone who followed Him was considered a disciple. In a sense, that still applies to us today. We just go by the term Christian. So in this message, I'm going to examine 4 points of what it means to be a Christian. So the first point for tonight of what it means to be a Christian, my friends, we must receive Christ. No ifs, no buts, no doubts. If we claim to be a Christian, anybody out there who claims to be a Christian that you encounter, and this is usually what I call the acid test whenever I talk to people. Oh, I'm a Christian, Brother Jim. Oh, are you? And a lot of times they usually go this way. Okay, are you a born-again believer? And they kind of look at me like, huh? Yeah, you know what born again means? No. Well, how do you become a Christian? Oh, someone just said some prayer over the internet and I prayed it and I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Okay. And then some of them I talked to claims to be Christians. Oh, I just became a Christian because I thought, hey, it sounded good. Wow, really? We see some Hollywood movie stars make claims to be Christians. We see authors of books claims to be Christians, and I think they do that just to sell books to us so we'll buy it. You see, that's why I said earlier, the term Christian is used so loosely. Those who claim to be Christians, my friends, I hate to say, normally ain't Christians at all. Yes, I have seen that. Thank you, Lily. I've seen that. Oh, my mom and dad were Christians, so I am. You see where I'm going with this? In order for us to be a Christian, we must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Why I'm saying this, again, look what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's plain as day right there, folks. I mean, you can't deny the meaning of the Word of God. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, folks, in other words, to become a Christian, it means receiving Jesus Christ. It includes us repenting, believing, and forsaking all of our sins. Not some, all. All or nothing. See, some folks like to forgive and forsake some sins, but not all sins. I'm sorry, but if you're going to receive Jesus Christ, if you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of power, you're going to have to repent of all, because that is the only way it's going to happen. If you say, oh, I take some of this, but I'm still going to do some of those vile things, then folks, you have not been converted. Because if you are a true conversion, as we just read, all those old things will pass away. Now, the Holy Spirit has to get to work if we surrender to Him, if we allow Him to do what He does best. He is going to cleanse us. He is going to clean us. He is going to straighten us up. He is going to show us what to do. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our rebuker. He does everything for us. It's nothing by our own works that we do. It's all basically on Him. You can't do it on your own power. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit. Folks try claiming the name Christians. They try doing this. They try being nice to the dog. They try being nice to people. They try being nice to everybody, but that's not going to cut it. Sorry, Jack, but that's not how it's going to happen. It takes the power to convert you. It takes the power to change you. It takes you to surrender to it. 100%. And yes, it's a hard life. And at times it's a difficult life. But a true child of God who has been baptized by the Holy Spirit will see a change. Some people it's fast, some people it's slow, but they will change. If you see no change, the problem is they have no roots. And what we normally say?
No root, no fruit.
No root, no fruit. You got to have the root in order to produce the fruit. The root's the Holy Spirit. That's what this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is telling us. See, Jesus also said it in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Pay attention to it. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Look what he's telling us. And he's telling this to everybody who says yes to him. He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Oh, Brother Jim, why you had to tell us that? See, a lot of people don't want to see those things in the Bible. They don't want to hear those passages. They don't want to hear those words. Oh, Jim, that sounds harsh. It sounds like you're making it mandate that I got to repent. Can somebody read that verse a little bit different? Because the way I see it, Jesus is plain telling us outright, unless you repent, hey, if you don't, you're going to perish. I know what he means by that, that we're going to end up going to hell if we don't surrender to God, if we're not born again. There's only two places we're going once this body breathes its last, upstairs or downstairs. Which one did you want? Your choice. I prefer upstairs, to be honest with y'all. So what is he telling us plainly in this passage right here? Basically, he's just telling us straight up, we all must repent or we're going to perish. And no matter what befalls others, we are sinners. We are to die. We shall be lost unless we repent. Folks, bottom line, we're doomed. We're all doomed. We were at one point, those of us who have been born again, amen. But those who ain't been born again yet, they are doomed. And the only way out is to ask Jesus into our lives and let him change us. When receiving Christ, it means being in him. All things are passed away. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to surrender. We let him do what he does best. Greater is he who is in us than he who is of this world. Let's look again at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at that passage one more time. You can scroll up or share post it for you, whichever way. But see again, and what it's telling us, folks, this is what it's telling us. I might step on some toes on this. But it's telling us that, hey, if you're going to surrender to Jesus Christ, if you're going to say yes to him, and you meant it 100% in your heart, yeah, the Holy Spirit will come to you. You will be born again. And he will change you. But what he's going to tell you and what's going to happen to you, because I can testify this happened to me. My wife can tell you that. And many people I've seen that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ who accepted Jesus into their life, I've seen the change. It happens. All of us in this room have seen this. I can testify to that. But what happens to us, again, with that passage, is telling us that all of our old friends, old habits, sinful pursuits drop off. They are no more. No interest, no desire. Because why? We are a new creation. We've been changed. The old has died. Those desires are no more. I've seen many young Christians who claim to say yes to Christ, and they struggle, and they have hard times, and they have difficulties, drug addictions, and this and that and everything else. And a lot of them say, you know, I just can't do it, brother. I just can't do it. I can't handle it. It's just getting to me. Well, you know what? I've been there too, folks. Look, I've been in drugs. I've been in everything you can think of and all that stuff. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that you can't. Because if you keep saying that I can't, that's telling me you're trying to do it in the flesh, but you're not trying to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time that I was met with those difficulties, and every time I was tempted, every time that I wanted the drugs, every time I wanted to drink, every time I wanted to look at stuff I shouldn't have looked at, you know what I did? I said, Lord, help me. And I stuck my nose into his words and said, Lord, show me in your words how to defeat this thing, how to defeat those demons. Don't tell me that you can't. Don't tell me you can't leave those friends. Don't tell me you can do all those things, because you can. Because if you can't, you don't want to. Some of y'all in here know how I preach, and that's how I am. So don't tell me you can't. Because in him, it can be done. With God, all things are possible. I know that for a fact, my friends. Because again, in Christ, all things become brand new. When we receive Christ, we receive new life. faith, hope, love, joy, peace, we are transformed into a new person. Do you get that? So that's what it means for us to be a Christian. The first thing that we got to do, we must receive Christ. That's how it starts. That's the only place to start. The second point for tonight of what it means to be a Christian, and I love this one, we must resemble Christ. First thing, we had to receive Christ. The second thing we got to do, we must resemble Jesus Christ. Look what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says about this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, "For to you this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps." Bottom line here, my friends, we as Christians should emulate Jesus Christ in our thinking, our seeing, our hearing, our speaking, doing, and going. We should emulate Christ in everything. Everything. We should look for the positive and the good. We should be kind and compassionate and understanding to others. The former things are no more in us. We should also show the same to others. I mentioned that last week in the message when Mercy walked in. We've been granted mercy, so why ain't we doing the same thing to others? So if we're emulating Jesus Christ, then we need to treat them like Jesus treated them in his day. Same way, no difference. If you do it any different, you're not emulating Christ. I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's the fact. Now, do I do that sometimes? Do I emulate Christ every day? Be honest with you, no. I repent of it. I make mistakes, just like anyone else. But I ask the Lord, "Lord, help me not to do it the next time." So what we need to be doing, when former things are no more, we as Christians, we should work with diligence and purpose, setting our affections on things above, nothing else. That's what we should be doing, most of all, very important. We should be focused on heavenly things, not earthly things, not earthly values. We're just passing by this place temporarily, that's all. Our real home is in heaven. Billy Graham says that a lot. I love that man. He says, "My home is in heaven. This is just temporary. Y'all can do whatever y'all want with it once I'm through with it." The third point for tonight of what it means to be a Christian, and this is very important, friends. The third thing, what it means to be a Christian, we must represent Christ. We have to receive Christ. We have to resemble Christ. Now, we must represent Christ. Now, there's plenty of passages that tells us this. You know, I know what I'm talking about. We are ambassadors to Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be emulating Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be mirror images of Jesus Christ. This is why, again, I guarantee you, my friends, everybody out there is watching you. They got the eye on you. You say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer." Oh, really? They probably put their hand on the chin or something like that. Yeah, I bet. And the reason why I say this, because, you know, I knew what I was. I knew how I was. And when I started telling friends, "Hey, I surrendered to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus." And I heard a lot, "Yeah, right, sure. Like I'm supposed to believe that." See, that's why when I see it on television and hear it on the radio or from these Hollywood stars or whatever, that people claim, hey, I'm a Christian, you know. But yet, when I see themselves claiming to be Christians, but yet they, the foul mouth of stuff that comes out of their mouths, the things that they are still doing, the way they are conducting themselves, you know, the image they are giving to everybody, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Now, that person claimed to be a Christian, but he's still acting like the world? I don't think so. We can't serve two masters. We can only serve one. But see, that's why I said this third point is so important, folks. We must represent Christ. Why? Here it is in this passage. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, you remember I was speaking about this a little bit earlier. But look what it says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Ooh, and look at the last passage, my friends, and to the end of the earth. You understand what that's saying, folks? We as Christians, we are to represent Christ in our homes, school, work, play, church, family. In other words, we ought to represent Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. Not just, oh, I'm going to put on a show when I go to church. I'm going to put on my best suit. Oh, I'm going to smile from ear to ear. Good morning, how you doing? And, you know, and shake hands and say praise the Lord and everything else. But the moment that the service is over, and boom, I get out the door and I go back to my own ways, I'm not representing Jesus. Oh, we could be saying hallelujah and praise God at home, but we get outside and we tear somebody's head off. We're not representing Jesus. Folks, we should be doing this in everything. And yes, we do fail. Yes, we do fall short. Yes, we do miss his mark. But that's a work in progress, and it needs to be a continuous work. Again, we got to be careful for us not to do the work. We must let him do the work. I know it's confusing sometimes, but a lot of people think, you know, I can do good deeds, I'm going to do good works, therefore I'm going to be saved. No, you ain't. Like I said earlier, you can be good till the cows come home, but that's not going to get you in heaven. You should be representing Christ all the time through the power of the Holy Spirit who has come upon you to the very ends of the earth. If that means your backyard, then that's good, your backyard. But if that means Walmart or Costco or whatever store that you go to, yes, it means it there. If that means it for here in this chat room that you must represent Jesus Christ, then yes. But you must represent him, because we even got it in our rules that if you are here, you are to represent Jesus. And I'm watching you in this chat room, folks. And I'm watching what you're typing. I'm watching what you're saying. And if I see something different, then that's telling me then you're not representing Jesus Christ. Therefore, you may not be of Christ. You see, again, what I said earlier, be careful. People are watching you. People are claiming to be Christians. So people are going to watch you and see if you are. In other words, missionaries, they ought to represent Christ on foreign fields. You know, we can't go do missionary work, but we are, in a sense, missionaries. Think about it. We are. It may not be your calling to go to India or China or whatever, stuff like that, but we are, at some point, our ambassadors to Jesus Christ, so therefore we must represent him in everything we do. But these missionaries, they ought to represent Christ on foreign fields. They speak and witness for him. The same thing should be for us. We should do the same here in our homes, in our everyday lives. We can represent Christ by giving words of encouragement, good deeds, witnessing to the unsaved about Jesus. See, we can be missionaries in those areas. Why is this? Why is it so important? Well, folks, again, I'm going to tell you why. We are commanded to. Look what Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 has to say about this. That's why I'm telling you, we're commanded to do so. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 says, "You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Bottom line, folks, if we are in Christ, then we should never represent the world. If we are in Christ, we should not be of the world. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world. We must represent him and be like Christ for all to see, for all, everyone. And our last point for tonight, the fourth one, of what it means to be a Christian. The fourth point for what it means to be a Christian. Remember, again, we got to receive him. We must resemble him. We must represent him. And most important, the fourth one, we shall reign with Christ. Woo-hoo! You get that? We shall reign with Christ. Praise God. Oh, man, I like that. Look what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says. I love that passage. You know, a lot of people, you know, kind of say other things about it, but, you know, I love it because look what it says. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Always be with him. You know what that's telling us right there, folks? Do you know what it's saying? That's why I just said we shall reign with him. That's what it's saying. We're going to be with him always. Always. We're going to never be separated ever again. You see, for those of us who received Christ, resembled Christ, represented Christ, shall also reign with Christ. For the scripture says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Ooh, let me repeat that. See, folks, when Christ, who is in our life, shall appear, then ye should also appear with him in his glory. You see, he's not being stingy. He's not being greedy. He's not saying, "Nah, you can't have none of this. I did it all. I went to the cross. I took the beating. I took the shame. I took all the sins." Yes, he did. He did it all for us. But you know what I love about him? He's going to share it with us. Man, he's not going to be greedy. That's what the passage is saying. We're going to be with him in his glory. How do we know this? How do I know that? Again, if we study scriptures, we know. But look what Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says about that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, "When Christ, who is in our life, appears," and look at the last half of that, "then you also will appear with him in glory." Woo! Now, folks, you can go tell everybody that after you heard this message, because, see, this ain't Jimbo saying this. This ain't me. This ain't the Dalai Lama saying this. This ain't Oprah Winfrey saying this. Folks, this is Christ telling us this. He is telling us, child, sister, brother, you're going to appear with me in glory. Wow. So for those of us who are real, being a Christian means that we are in Christ, like Christ, for Christ, and with Christ for now and all throughout eternity, forever. Whew. Let's say this again. Being a Christian, a true born-again believer, means that we are with Christ, like Christ, for Christ, and with Christ now and forever and all eternity. Never ending. Man, that sends chills down my back just thinking about that. Whew. All eternity. That should be happy and joy right there just to look forward to. In light of what's been happening around us. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Now, some people say, hey, they're Christians because, it was mentioned earlier, they were born into a Christian family, or they go to church. Others explain being a Christian in terms of religious denomination, meaning you insert your denomination in this saying, but I am a Baptist denomination, so therefore I'm a Christian. You can be in any denomination you want, but if you're not truly born again, that's moot point. That's moot point. Some claim to be a Christian because, oh, here's a good one, they have done certain religious acts, like prayer. We was talking about that earlier, me and my wife. Some people say, oh, I became a Christian because someone on television just said, pray this prayer. And they go on living like they normally do. Some claim, hey, I've been baptized. Well, folks, if you've been baptized, I'm going to tell you right now, depending on the baptism, if you went baptized, you went to church, oh, I wanted to get baptized, but you really didn't mean it. All you did is got wet and took a little mini bath. That's it. I've done that before. Well, how about a good one? Oh, I'm a Christian because, I gave $100,000 to this church. And therefore, I am a charter member, and my name is written on a stone out there in front of the church. I'm a Christian now. Odds, as it may be, when writing this message, and you're going to kind of look at me in a puzzled look, I guarantee it. Odd as it may be, when I was writing this message, trying to find different meanings of what it means to be a Christian, I came across a story that Hitler himself claimed that he was a Christian because he persecuted the Jews. Yes, folks. From what I read, this appears to be a true story. Hitler claimed he was a Christian because he persecuted the Jews. Who that kind of reminds us of before his name was changed? Saul claimed he was a Christian, and what did he do? Persecuted the disciples of Christ. But yeah, when I saw that, now that can't be real. But yeah, he made a statement like that. He claimed that he was doing justice. Wow. You see, folks, what I'm trying to tell us tonight, you probably heard in your own versions of these definitions. Each one of us probably heard different and more. None of these definitions, though, fully explain what it means to be a Christian according to the Bible. Being a Christian means that you have encountered the true and living God, that you have undergone a change in your heart and soul. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means that you are not restricted to the laws of right and wrong in order to please God, because you cannot please God by what you do. None of us can't. I think Hebrews 11:6 says that we, without faith, cannot please God. We can't. The only way we can please God is when we let the Spirit change us and transform us and make us into something. But if we are true, if we're real, God will only find pleasure in you only through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. Certain people in the world claims there is, but I'm sorry, they're wrong. To be a Christian, folks, what it means to follow Jesus to the ends of the earth, to desire him, to fellowship with him, to be indwelt by him, to bring glory to him, to surrender to him. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the truth, the way, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through me. That is the only real way to become a Christian, through Jesus Christ. Being a Christian, my friends, is more than accepting certain truths about what Jesus was or did. A Christian firmly believes Jesus is the Son of God, who loves us, who died for us, and rose again. A Christian knows he or she is saved not by good works, but by the free gift of God's grace. And last but not least, a Christian is so gripped by God's love, God's grace, God's welcome at his child, he or she lives out their faith by following Jesus in real life at all cost. See what I'm saying, folks? I forgot the other passages too, but I just know it. But it was in the Old Testament, I believe, the kings, before they went to war, they had to count it to see, was it worth it? They had to count it. Was it worth it at all cost? And if it wasn't, they didn't go to war. We have to count it at all cost. That means putting to death what we once was. Simply put, a Christian follows Jesus Christ 100%. 100%. Always say, folks, all or nothing. All or nothing. So how about we do this? How about that we start acting like a Christian ourselves? Instead of just going through the motions, instead of just doing what feels right, let us act like the real deal and be pleasing to God. Amen. Let's pray.